Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Some of y'all starting to wake up. Are you ready?
Yes.
Well, in 2014, I believe that God was telling me, son, what do you want to do? And I said, I want increase. What are you willing to do for increase? I said, sacrifice. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. Well, he's not even talking about the money yet. He's talking about, will you give your all to God in 2014? In 2014, he asked me, what would you want to achieve in 2014? I said, what you have for me? He goes, oh, you're typical. God don't talk to you that way. Maybe he talks to me differently. He goes, you're typical with your answers. If you're not specific, I can't bring specifics into your life. What do you want in 2014? And this is what I answered him in my prayer. I said, Lord, I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered.
Yes.
I want to see people set free.
Yes.
I want to see people begin to walk out their destiny with letting go of a mindset that they brought in to 2014. In this season, the Lord was saying, will you make a sacrifice, and promise that everything I ask you to do, you'll do? Isn't that simple? It's simple. Anything and everything that I ask you to do, will you just do it? Well, our first response was, yeah, I got to, And then when he says, I want you to give up something. Hold up now. You didn't say the level of sacrifice, though. But he asked me, what do I want specifically in 2014? Now, many people go through their New Year's resolutions, and it's the same one that they haven't succeeded in the past 3 years. Why don't you make yourself a goal for something for the first month? And after the first month, if you succeed, go to the next month. If we don't push ourselves, we can't blame that on God. I said, well, God, you know, I feel like I need to put on a suit. He says, son, you can put on whatever you want to wear. But first and foremost, you better put me on. If you put me on and put me first in your life, everything that I bring unto you, you'll know where it came from. I'm going to just share a little nugget with you. If you want to catch it, catch it. If you don't want to catch it, give it to the neighbor next to you. What proceeds after what comes out of your mouth comes to you. Watch this. It's not a message, but it's a nugget. This nugget is, when God created the heavens and the earth, what came out of his mouth was. Correct? What he spoke was. So the atmosphere is charged to receive what comes out of your mouth. If so, if you begin in 2014, that I hope this year isn't like last year. Your last year is coming into your new year. I'm tired is coming into your current situation. I'm broke is coming into your current situation. What comes out of your mouth, the atmosphere is already charged to bring what you speak. Why is that? Because when God created the heavens and the earth, it was spoken into existence. And the creative power of God is in the atmosphere to follow after the words that come out of your mouth. And if you continue to speak things negatively, you're going to receive nothing but negative coming your way. But if you begin to square your shoulders and get ready, and begin to decree into your today to prepare you for your tomorrow, you will be able to decree into the atmosphere, and it will begin to look for you now. And it will come into your existence. Oh, some of y'all may have caught it. Some of y'all didn't. Some of y'all are going to learn to go to sleep early on Saturdays. I ain't playing church. This is the first day of 2014. This is the first Sunday service. I catch you sleeping in here. You might as well stand up and leave. God is serious about getting you to where you need to go. If you're not serious about God and just doing because mama said for you to get to church, you're not coming for God. You're coming because mama said. Mama ain't going to get you to heaven. Mama ain't going to get you what you need. Daddy in heaven is going to bring to you what he's asked of you. My sacrifice, God, is to get people to another level. But I can't make them eat, Michael. I can't make them drink. But my thing is, if I can present to them what the Word of God says, they have the responsibility to put it in their mouth. So that in the course of their life, they begin to speak what comes out of their mouth. The creative power begins to create for them. Oh. Jeff, I remember that there was a person in the Bible called John the Baptist. He looked a little bit different. He wore things just a little bit different than everybody else. He ate things a little bit different than everybody else would prefer. But what he said unto the people that were coming unto him, unto the Jordan, he says, you come here out of fear to be baptized. And he rebuked them. When he was baptized in the Jordan represented transition. Maybe I'm just working this. I'm just getting y'all ready. Just hold on now. If you don't want transition, he said, don't even get in the water and don't waste my time. Depart from here. You're only coming in fear. Just like most people, when they come to church, there's something in their life that's caused fear that they want to run to the Lord. How about running to the Lord before something comes into your life? How about putting on God first and saying, yes, Holy Spirit, I want and I need you first. My bills will be paid. My food will come to me. My clothing will come to me because you said for me not to worry about tomorrow. I know that things are coming my way. My wife said it. I don't trip about money. I know I get mad because I don't got it. But I do know one thing, that it's coming. Because I prophesy into my future that I am blessed, highly favored, and blessed to be a blessing. Amen. It may have not shown up just quite yet, but I know it's on its way. Yeah. How do I know? Now here, watch this. Now I'm going to transition to my message. How do I know it's on the way, Michael? Because I begin to look at the numerology that God has put emphasis on. In 2013, the number 3 represents the Godhead, the Trinity. But what you don't understand, maybe, is that the number 3 in the Hebrew represents Gimel. Gimel is for a camel. Beautiful little camel. 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 I found it very interesting that all of a sudden we started talking about my camels are coming. My camels are coming. I didn't see them, but sure did see them on the Geico commercials. Sure did see them at gas stations. Real ones. I said, what's going on with these camels, God? What is going on with these camels? He says, oh, you need to pay attention, son. I said, I'm trying, but I'm just trying to figure out why all of a sudden am I seeing camels in 2013. I said, will you teach me, God, what it's about? Because I said it to some of my leaders the other day. I'm not well versed in the actual Hebrew alphabet. Numerology. I just know that if I put numbers together, God will speak to me and I'll begin to see some things. He says, would you go down and just kind of break it down a little bit? And then I'll show you something. So as I begin to caveat into the message, I want to share with you what the Lord showed me and impressed upon me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In 2013, the gematria number system for the number 3, it's the letter Gimel, is the third letter of the alphabet, having the numeric value of 3. The pictograph for the gimel is a camel. The mysteries of the gimel, in the Talmud, it is said that the gimel symbolizes a rich man running after a poor man, which is the next letter, Dalet. And I'll break it down some more. To give him charity. Are you hearing me? How many of you have suffered some things financially in 2013? Some of y'all may have been blessed financially. But in 2013, what I began to see throughout the course of Christianity, many people were not coming to the altar not just for healing. They were coming because of financial breakthrough. Because the enemy had begun to do something with their finances. This is what God was saying. The number three represents the Godhead, which is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and three, the Holy Spirit. Gimel is the representation of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? Which is chasing after those that are in need. Those that don't have what they're in need of right now, the Holy Spirit, the gimel, the camel, is chasing after you. Are you following me? And in order for me to break down 2014, I got to tell you what was going on in 2013. You just can't say 2014 is this if not understanding what 2013 held. So I began to understand that God was trying to tell me, pay attention to the times. The times. And you'll begin to see something different. The root word is gamal, means to deal out, to give, or to wean. The word means either recompense or benefit, indicating that the nature of the giving can lead to either blessing or judgment for the one who gives. Did y'all miss that? Well, I'll read it again. I will, sir. Thank you. The root gamal means to deal out, to give or wean. The word means either recompense or benefit, indicating that the nature of the giving can lead to either blessing or judgment for the one who gives. In other words, how one chooses to run the race will determine the outcome of his or her own life. That'll preach by itself. We're just on number three, Jeff. We haven't hit four. Jeff, we're just on the camel. We're just on the camel, Oscar. That's all. It's going to determine how you run your race. If you run your race because it's something healthy to do, but you ain't going to try to win, then you're going to be left behind. You're never going to succeed in what you started out to do. In 2014, we get ready. We go up to the starting line. We're getting ready to run, Jeff. But what happens is that we have to predetermine what we're going to do to get to the end. Because the beginning is not important as the ending is. How you start a thing is never the thing that's important. It's how you end the end. You know, it's how you end. It's how you wind up. We're not always going to be the ones that are going to end the race without having any defeats. Because the defeats makes you a champion. See, what happens is that you learn through your defeats and you learn through all of your storms that have come your way, that learn how to better determine the outcome of the race. Some of y'all need to understand this. We have to predetermine, are we going to run the race or are we just going to go to the race? Just because you're on the track don't mean you're a runner. Trust me, when I get on the track, you know I'm not a runner. Just because you dress the part don't mean you're playing the part. Just because you go to church don't mean you're doing church. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you're a Christian. Just because you know how to quote scripture don't make you wise. Wisdom comes by the application of the word of God into your life, that the fruit shall be seen by others to know that wisdom has penetrated your life. Well, we're just on number three. Yeah. The number three also represents stability. Stability. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. The number three also represents the Kinsman Redeemer. It is the picture of Jesus, Yeshua, being the Redeemer of mankind in John 4:42. The Gimel, which is number three, also means to lift up, as a camel that lifts up the one who is upon it. So that's just number three. Ten is Yod in Hebrew, which means arm or hand. You follow me? Ten. Yod. Yada means lift your hands. This phrase in worship. Four, which is, comes right after number three, is Dalet. In Hebrew means hanging door, bent over, the root word to draw out, with an ear to the ground, listening for the gimel to come. Did you follow? Say, oh, I will say it again. Okay, okay. Some of y'all need to learn how to pull the preacher out, man. Yod in Hebrew means arm or hand, which is the number 10. 10 also means perfected order. In the scaling system, 10 means perfection. So if God is perfecting something, you got to understand what is coming after perfection is what's going to take place in your life. Number 4 in the Hebrew means dalet, the hanging door, bent over, root word to draw out, with an ear to the ground, listening for the gimel to come. Are you listening for your camel to come?
Yes.
Some of y'all look at me, why with a stinky camel? The camels in Scripture represent them being sent with the goods and the precious gems, the jewels, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, to be sent to you where you're at. Not you going to get it, but it comes to you. Are you hearing me? I know my race may start right here, but I know what's rightfully mine is going to meet me on the course of my destiny. The trick of the enemy is to get you to stop the race and to stop you from going forward. And if he can stop you from progressing forward, he'll stop the progression of the gimel coming to you. Oh, wait a minute. Jeff, if you would, please stand right here. Gimel, will you stand up and stand right there, Gimel? That's you, David. Yeah, Gimel. You're going to, watch this. You're going to mirror him. You're at the starting gates of 2014. In 2014, you begin to take a couple of steps forward. Go on, Mr. Jeff. Oh, wait a minute now. Something just entered into 2014 that may have just stopped him in his track. And what stopped him in his track has also stopped the gimel from coming. Are you hearing me? The progression of your steps in your destiny also has an effect on your prophetic future. Your prophetic future will move towards you when you move towards it. Jeff, will you go to your left two steps? Jeff, will you take two steps forward, please? Jeff, just run to the end of the race. No, y'all don't. You're two steps left, Jeff. Two steps left. You're two steps left. Now run to the end. What happened to your prophetic destiny? It passed you by because you got out of position. Now watch this. Here's the grace of God. The repentance gets you right back to where you started. This is our everyday walk. Our everyday walk. All we got to do is walk towards our prophetic destiny, our future. And your prophetic future comes back to you. Because God knows the end from the beginning. The trick of the enemy is to get you just off course. You may be able to see your promise, but it may take you 40 years to get it based upon your disobedience. Can you see your promise, sir?
Yes.
Can you see the man of God trying to get to you, sir? What is the difference is he got out of position. The trick of the enemy is to pull us aside, Chris. Not to take you off, but just to pull us aside. Keep on walking, both of you. The grace and the mercy of the Holy Spirit through the repentant heart gets you back in position. If you have that repentant heart,
yes, I do.
Guess what? God knows it. Because only God can judge the heart.
That's right. That's right.
It may look like you all over the place, not ever going to get your blessing. But guess what? Your prophetic future is yours.
Yes.
Nobody else's but yours. It wants to get to you in 2014. But will you incline your ear to the gimel, the camel, to come your way? Will you be listening for the Holy Spirit to guide you to your place? Or are you just going to listen to your heart? Yeah, I don't want to hear this one. You don't want to hear it. Do you want to listen to your heart and follow after the things that your soulish realm begins to speak to you, as opposed to the inner ear of your spirit that can only hear the Spirit of God? Oh, watch this. Oh, this is going to hit someone between the eyes, Jeff. Your prophetic destiny in 2014 is only waiting for you to speak the things that God has spoken to you, so that the creative power out of your mouth begins to draw in the atmosphere to you what is rightfully yours. The angels of God, they work on your behalf towards the word of God. Anything out of your mouth that's not of God, guess what is going to work on your behalf? The angels that have fallen here on earth are going to bring to you what you're speaking, not the angels of God. Oh, hear me. This is probably too deep for some of y'all. If you want to continue speaking the profanity that you speak, what you're going to do, that's not edification words. What is going to happen is the Holy Spirit is going to wait for you. But in your soulish realm, you may just be walking aimlessly, doing things aimlessly in your own flesh. Where is your prophetic destiny waiting for you where you once were? The beautiful thing about God is the moment that you say, Lord, I have missed it. I got into my flesh. I got into all kinds of things that was not of you. Please forgive me. That's the grace and mercy of God. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Do you understand that in 2014... the arm and the hand of God is reaching out to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go to Exodus 15:6, please. Exodus 15:6. The right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Oh, I'm just talking to you about the hand. Some of y'all need to learn, start taking some notes in here. Exodus 17:11 in the King James reads in this wise, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Amalek in scripture represents your past. Amalek represents all of your past defeats. Amalek in scripture represents a spirit that will always bring your past into your now. Not your future, but your now. Exodus 17:11. Isaiah 41:10 reads this wise, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is the Holy Spirit that is speaking unto the people of God, that I am going to uphold you. I am going to deliver you. I am going to redeem you. Fear not. Fear not. For this is the year of the hand of God that is going to begin to reach into your circumstance and is going to bring you out of your now to bring you into your prophetic future. This isn't something that is just happen to put some numbers together and read. No, this is the meaning that is very real to God, because when he began to speak to Moses as he's building the tabernacle, he gave him specifics. Hello? Specifics. Say specifics. No. Say it like you understand it. Specifics. He gave specifics on how to build the tabernacle. Why would we dismiss the tabernacle and say, well, we are the church? Well, he gave specifics on how the church should be. But we still ain't doing it, but we're saying we're the church. We're not reading like we used to read. We're not praying like we used to pray before either. Much less fasting on the regular like we should be fasting. Or even beginning to decree in the atmosphere like we're supposed to be decreeing. But God said that if you would just repent, I'll bring you right back into position once where you once were, and I'll take you to a place called there. What is that there in your life? That there is your prophetic destiny. I will get you there as long as you stay in alignment with my spirit. And my spirit will guide you into all truth, not lies, but truth. The first mention of hand in scripture, watch this, is not even God's hand. It's man's hand. Okay, go to Genesis 3 and I'll show you real quick. Go to Genesis 3. So God was the first one. God was the first one that said, no, it was not God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Genesis 3. And I'll begin to read this. Genesis 3:2, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat. What? The fruit? Say fruit.
Fruit.
We may eat out of the garden. What was given? The fruit. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die, for God knows that when the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves joint coverings. Watch this, verse 8, here's your new beginning. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to man and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the trees which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman that you have gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Say deceived. What is the serpent deceiving? He's deceiving the fruitfulness of communion with God. What is he taking away is the fruitfulness in the communion that you have with God. That's what he's deceiving. Now watch. Verse 14. The Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed more than the cattle and the beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head, and he shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply. Say multiply. Your pain and childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of that field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground because of you, because from it you were taken, and from you are dust, and dust you shall return. Now, what I want you to do is go down to verse 23. Watch this. Verse 22, it says here, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now he might stretch out his hand, say hand, what proceeds after hand, and take also from the tree of life. Hand represents authority, provision, and the ability to take. The enemy comes to deceive you from your fruitfulness and your fellowship with God, and also will make you put your hand to something that God never ordained for you. Are you following me? Man, hand was first mentioned in Scripture because man stretched forth his hand and brought a curse. Now watch. The hand of God is more beautiful than the hand of man. Are you following me? All right. Now, here's what I'm going to share with you. Just share. Exodus 33:21-23 in the English Standard Version. Verse 21 reads, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with what? My hand. Until I have passed by, then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back. But my face shall not be seen. And John 10:27-30 in the King James reads, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Are you hearing what God is saying? The hand. This is the year of the hand. And God is getting ready to do something great in 2014. At the very beginning of November, I met with some people in this hour, and I began to prophesy that in 2014, the land was going to cry out. That Abraham and his nephew Lot had to separate. Because the blessings were so great. Just because someone's blessed don't mean they got to be with you. I'll just leave that one alone. Just because someone's anointed don't mean they got to be with you. Just because someone's got promise don't mean they need to be with you. Sometimes y'all not supposed to be getting together and hooking up because it ain't the right thing to do, because he can get you off track. Sometimes you do got to separate. Don't be looking at your spouse right now. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. No. Whew. But the promise is crying out, saying that it's too plentiful and I can't bear so much of the fruit. I'm going somewhere with this, whether I finish it today or not. Fruitful. In the beginning, we were in the garden, and the fruit was always there. I want to read something in Joshua chapter 5, verse 8. Joshua 5 and verse 8 in the King James. Here we begin now with the prophetic statement that God is making in this very, very hour to the people of God. Joshua 5, verse 8. When you're there, say amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And it came to pass when they had done circumcise all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp, so they were whole. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt off of you. Say, I rolled the reproach from off of you. Where the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the what? 14th day of a month. At even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn on the selfsame day. Verse 12 says, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Some of y'all that understand that eat steak quite often, I'm talking about the meat of the word, you understand what this is saying here in Joshua, is that no longer do I have to provide for you supernaturally the manna that you have to just gather, and it's only going to give you a little bit of substance. Because if I was to make it fruitful in the desert, you would have camped in the desert forever. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? No, he's saying that I want you to understand that I always had a place for you called there, Canaan, which is the promised land. And on that day, the 14th day, they quit eating the old. And they ate the fruit of the land, and they ate the old no more. Oh, see. Are you seeing the prophetic statement that God is making? Verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. You will eat of the fruit of your promise this year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where you have stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Is God trying to get you somewhere? He's trying to get you to a place to take off something from behind. Something of the past and something that he had to sustain you with. Remember, the Bible speaks about how the Israelites, they walked for 40 years, but their shoes never wore out. There wasn't a pay list that you can go get a BOGO, you know, buy one, get one. There wasn't a place you can go to Macy's when they had the great sales. They just had a tendency to just last. How many of you have some shoes that you've had? Well, never mind, don't answer that one. How many of you know that if you get to walk in quite a bit on the same shoes, because I got me a pair of shoes by you, that my wife said, I'm going to throw those things out. They're so old, old, ragged, and tagged. I said that it fit me real good. I can preach on it all day long. I can dance. I can shimmy. I can shout. Because in that is the shoes that have formed and fitted my feet. Hear me now. But when he got over to the promise, he said, take off the old and leave it behind, because where you stand now is holy ground. And I won't have to maintain that for you. You'll have to go and get what's yours. Oh, yeah, are you hearing me? Oh, Jesus. Okay. Just trying to get somewhere. I'm really trying. I'm really, 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 really. I want you to go to Genesis 46:22, please. Genesis 46:22. Woo, Jesus, you're so good. Well, Jesus, you're speaking. You're so good. I promise to have you out here in just a short time. Short time. Genesis 46 and verse 22. Are you there? Are you there? Let me go with 21. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name Shittnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well. He digged another well, and from that they strove not. And he called that name Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be, what? Genesis 26. Who said that? I did not. Y'all need to listen. I did. That's my fault. Hold on. I skipped the scripture. Watch this. 26:21. Watch it. Y'all listen. That's good. Listen. Follow along. Don't get lost. Amber alert. Follow. Okay, Genesis 26, verse 26, and then I'm going to go to the other one that I originally said. Watch it. I went to the prophetic future. I'm going back a little bit to get you there. Hold on now. Genesis 26. Are we there? Genesis 26, verse 21. We already dug two wells. Now we're on 22. And the Lord called it Rehoboth, and he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Say fruitful. He's getting now the people of God back to the place of his original intent, like in the garden, to be fruitful. All right, now y'all need to pay attention now and go to 46. 46, verse 22. 46 and verse 22. Are you there? Where are you? Watch this. I'm just going to read a little bit of a lineage here. And the sons of Benjamin were Belah and Becher and Asher and Gerar and Naaman, Ehi and Rosh, Muppim and Huppim and Ard. Sometimes I wonder if this is where we get some of the rappers. Because they just start putting things together just to rhyme, but it's really somebody in the Bible. All right, now. These are the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob. All the souls were, say what? 14. Hold on now. How many tribes did Jacob have? 12. How come it says that Rachel had 14 sons? Wait a minute. Did the Bible miscount something here? Well, watch this. This is a very prophetic statement that God is saying to us in this very hour. Woo-wee! You may have only had 12. But somehow you increased to 14. But the father, the matriarch of our faith, has said that I have a tribe of 12, but God has given me two more. And their names happen to come from his son Joseph. Go to Genesis 48. Just hang a right a little bit more. 48. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons. Say two sons. Manasseh and Ephraim. Say Manasseh. Now say Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee. Say multiply. And I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to the seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Watch this, verse 5. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came into thee into Egypt, are mine. Do you see that? Oh, looky. Go ahead and put that down again, John. I'm just going to mess you up all day. Just put it down, John. Jeffy, would come over here, please. Jacob, just stand right here. Oscar, come up from behind there, please, Oscar. Oh, yeah. Come on, David. Matter of fact, come on up here, Michael. You be Joseph. Now, watch this. Now, Joseph comes under the father, Jacob, who happens to be sick. He's in bed. The rightful thing was, during this time, Jacob was to bless his son, Joseph. It's the right thing to do. And in tradition, how do they bless the sons? Right hand upon their head. Now remember, I did a series, said, get up and sit down. Israel was sick, but he got up and he sat down. But what was supposed to transpire to Joseph didn't happen. He said, those sons that were born unto you in Egypt before I ever came to you are mine. Wow. Watch the blessing. Come and stand before Jacob and Joseph, your father. Now watch. Can you turn sideways because I want them to see the demonstration? You're going to stand right in front. Now, Oscar, is the eldest. Should have received the blessing because he's the eldest. Ephraim, the youngest, shouldn't have received it. Well, Jacob, if you would stand before the sons that you have taken over, cross your hands, watch this, and he blessed them, circumventing the ritual of the eldest. Who got the blessing? The youngest. What be his name? Ephraim. Yeah, you follow me now. Watch. Okay, because your arms will get tired right there. Now watch. As he blesses Ephraim, this is what is originally taking place. Ephraim means double fruitful. What does Joseph mean? Fruitful. Double fruitful. Fruitful. Why did Jacob not bless Joseph? Because he released the double portion unto the lineage to Ephraim that held the right by name, double portion. See that double portion? Double portion. A double portion. Now I'm going to get it. Thank you guys. You're going to sit down. Oh, yes. A double portion. Whoo. Help me, Jesus. Jacob came into the land and he saw this beautiful woman that he wanted. The father says, if you work for me 7 years, say seven, you can have my daughter. Stand, Miss Liz, stand, just stand. Okay, we can cut that off right there. I said, bind that devil in the name of Jesus. Oh, hold on now. For those listening to the podcast, just hold on. Get somewhere. Miss Liz, as you stand, then Jacob happens to catch your eye. And stand, Jacob. That's your bride-to-be over there. Your bride-to-be is saying, well, come on. You're going to work a little bit, but that's your prize in the end. Is that right? And I, oh, you better say it with enthusiasm. That's your wife for real. That's my baby. That's it. That's it. Now watch this. Now watch this. And now along comes daddy that says, yeah, you worked 7 years, but why don't you go on, we'll have a festivity. You get a little drunk with wine a little bit. It's just a little bit. And then just go in, have your barbacoa and Big Red in the morning. But it's okay. But when you wake up, you're not with your wife. Just stand up. Just stand up, Miss Sylvia. So, Sylvia, just stand up. You wake up now. Come on over here. Come on over here. Come on. Come on. Come on. But all along, your eye has been on the prize. Oh, no, baby. No, no, no. Just illustration. That's all. Just illustration. You're beautiful, wonderfully made in this beautiful image. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Now watch. Still has the prize in his sights. Laban then tells Jacob, just work for me another 7 years. But in the end, this is, hey, Shante. All right now, at the end of the double, he got double. But watch this, watch this. Joseph came from her. And the double blessing for the land and the lineage came from her. At the end of the toil of your labor comes the fruitfulness and the double fruitfulness to continue the lineage on. You got to understand, you may have a taskmaster in your life called the devil, called, well, don't look at anybody right now, but they have constantly worked you under. And is trying to drive you down with authority so that you don't get. But God is saying in this hour, in this year, I am going to remove the reproach from you. I am going to remove the taskmaster of your life. And I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I'm going to give you double for what you labored for. You may be working so hard, but in the end, you'll get double. Not just what they said you were going to get, but you're going to get more than you ever imagined you were going to get. Oh. Your prize was over there. But your prize came to you. Yes, Lord. Amen. Say it again, Colleen. Say it again. Come on! The lineage of the one you weren't working for, your Savior came from. God knew what he was doing at the end before your beginning ever started. You don't know why you work so hard. You don't know why you get labored so hard. You don't know why you go through what you go through. But I have a Redeemer in the works that is going to bring you salvation unto your people. But in also, give me a hand, baby. I also have the double portion that goes hand in hand with the lineage. And you are connected with the matriarch of your faith. You are a double portion people. Then in 2014, you are going to see the hand of God break off the hand of the enemy and bring you in. It is the hand of God that will break forth everything that has had you weighed down. Plan. A plan is in place. You don't know why Jacob and his descendants had to walk out of where they were once at to go to a new place and then find his brides there. Because he had to get a Savior out of a lineage that nobody wanted. That was always overlooked. Maybe not perfect, maybe didn't have everything of the credentials that people want, but he looked further into the future and said, no, Leah, I need you. You may be looked over, but I'm pulling you into my family because I have a plan for you. Have you had family members that are not in the kingdom right now? They're coming. And maybe they took a step to the right and got out of position. They're coming back into position. And what I'm trying to tell you, hear me good. Hear me real good. Oh, Jesus. God said unto Jacob, you may only have 12, but I'm giving you two more. Two more. Double portion. Remember the very first time I preached? Remember the first time, Alan? The very first time I preached. Very first time. It was called the Conference of the Double-Double. How many years ago was it? How many years ago was it? 14 years. You know how I know this? You know how I know this? Where's my son Josh? Stand up, boy. Stand up, boy. Because his death and resurrection brought me into the kingdom of God. I had 1 year to determine whether or not I was going to run the race. And in that next year, God called me to go and preach. And when I went to go preach, I went to preach at the Double-Double Conference. 14 years ago. Here we are now in 2014. There's a difference to be made. Because he has a plan in store. He'll never forget it. Matter of fact, he says, who can take you out of his hand? Who? Nobody. No man. Because you're his. You are the apple of his eye that he holds dear, and he watches you all the days of your life. You shall see the hand of God come into your life, bring double for your troubles. Double for your troubles. And everything in 2013 that was mounted against you, mounted. Now, Joshua, my son, place your right hand on her head. Hear this and hear me good. No, Miss Jackie. Watch this. Joshua represented resurrection power of the promise of the younger generation to the elder generation that brought forth the manifestation of the promise. I release it now into your mighty hands, says the Spirit of God. And as God has been speaking today, he has pulled you aside so he can get to you what is rightfully yours. I release it now under the power and the authority of the double for the trouble in Jesus' mighty name. 14 years ago, Baya. 14 years ago, I stepped up to the pulpit and didn't know what I was going to preach or even what I was going to say. But the Lord began to minister and he began to flow. And then he pulled me out and sat me down. Some of y'all need to hear this and hear good. Your storms, your season of being isolated, of being out of view and out of the public eye, is not to ridicule you, not to badger you, not to minimize you, but it's to train you up in the ways of the Lord. And so when he brings you up out of, you come out with double. And I said this to the leaders the other night. I said, I know in 2014, we're not doing things we used to do it. We're going to do it differently this time. We're going to get things we haven't seen in quite a long time. And I wasn't even talking about the materials. I was talking about the tangible presence of God. Where the glory of God, as he put his hand over the cleft of the rock where Moses was, so that he saw his hand, but in the end, he saw his glory. I'm here to tell you, let me see it. That God is getting ready to stretch forth his hand and to cover you in the midst of all your hard places. but he's going to go before you and he's going to show his glory now unto you. And understand this, this is the hour where we get our double for 2014, not because of the number, but because of what he has decreed over your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Go to 2 Chronicles 14, please. 14th book, 14th chapter, 14th verse. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you don't know how to speak in tongues, I apologize. That's called the Holy Ghost. Woo, 2 Chronicles. Are you there? Say amen. Woo. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. 14th book. 14th chapter. Who's got it? Who's got it? Who's got it? I need to catch in my breath. Okay, I got it. I'm getting it. 2 Chronicles 14. I'm almost there. Get to the gym, Marty. Okay, I will. Okay. 14th book, 14th chapter, 14th verse. Are you there? 2 Chronicles 14. All right. I'm just going to skip right to on the 14th verse. It says, they destroyed all the cities around Gerar, for the dread of the Lord had fallen on them. And they despoiled all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. They also struck down those who owned livestock, and they carried away large numbers of sheep and camels. Then they were returned to Jerusalem. If you read the whole chapter, chapter 14, you're going to read in there that there is someone called Asha that did good in the sight of the Lord, and he began to regain the city and the people of God. And what happened during that time is that for 10 years, there was peace in the city. Peace. God is instituting in this very hour for the body of Christ to step into their peace, their rest, and their fruitfulness. Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying? Number 7 in numerology always represents rest and fruitfulness. Completion. Jeff, what we labored for is going to come into completion. That when God asks and requires of us a sacrifice, this is just a little testimony that I shared with someone. Actually, they shared with me when I had coffee with them the other day. He says that there was a testimony that went forth about giving a sacrificial seed. And it happened to be the building fund that they had so that they can move into their new building. Actually, they can go buy a building, buy some land. And the Lord required of him to give the whole, to give it to somebody that was in need. Pastor said, Lord, but this is from my building. This is the building fund. And if I give it all, how am I going to get into our building? We need to transition out, for we are too small. But at his word, that very night in the service, they sold that seed to that visiting pastor. That next day, say next day, AT&T called and said, we're vacating the building and the land, and we want to give it to you. This pastor said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, Pastor Marty. I said, I do. Because God asked me, what are you willing to sacrifice? You were willing to sacrifice and take that money for the youth so you can pay a bill. But God says, I saw your heart. You really didn't want to do it. So I brought the provision to you in the form of double. Two times 100. A millennial change. 50 always represents jubilee. Double for your trouble. I will remove the reproach from off your neck. And that reproach has always been financial instability, and I will bring you into stability. That the younger generation will see the hand of God in this hour. I hope you understand. And there's so many references for 14. Joseph was given the coat of many colors at 17, and then he began to reign for Pharaoh 14 years later. Joseph ruled for 14 years. There's so much. There is just so much. Job lost so much, but he got double in the end. I hope you hear what the Spirit of God is saying and not what this crazy Mexican is saying. Because the Spirit of God is speaking. We must listen. We must listen. If you, oh, okay, I'm going to say it. And, oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. Y'all intercessors in here, pray. Come on, praise team. Let's just do this. What I want you to see is that God is getting ready to do something out of the ordinary. Laban didn't want Jacob to leave, because as long as Jacob was there, he was blessed. So what did Jacob do? Jacob said, give me all the spotted. Give me all the imperfect. And when you give me all the imperfect ones, and you give me all the spotted ones that are not perfect in the eyes of man, they're perfect in the eyes of God. And what he began to do is increase. Increase. It's a time of increase for us, Miss Lisa. Increase. In that increase, there is a lineage that is blessed. There's also a lineage that has been hidden. That in that end, they come forth. You've labored and you've toiled for many ministries, many men and women of God. You've even sacrificed your time, your home. God says, I've seen every seed that you have sown. I've heard every prayer that has come out of your mouth. And I've counted every tear that has dropped. In 2014, you will see a doubling that is going to come your way based upon even what your husband has just recently told you. The things in the house were going to change. I so appreciate the man of God. I do. He has a sweet, gentle spirit. And that time is coming where he is going to be loosed from a bondage that has been held over his life called guilt. And it's not even his own guilt. Not his own guilt. Now, I hope you hear me without me saying. And when that release happens, there'll be such a union in the house. Such peace. You've labored and you've labored. Seeds after seeds. Time after time. Prayer after prayer. This is, you're faithful unto him. You're obedient unto him. And God is going to adorn you with his grace and his mercy over your life. That when it's displayed, the one that doesn't want to hear, see, believe, will become once again in his rightful place. Because he loves him. I prophesy unto you what has been depleted was going to be increased double. Come on, let's just worship God. Let's just worship God for a minute, please.